Appreciate you being here this morning. Let's turn, if we could, to two places in the New Testament. Jude and 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy 3. And then let's try Jude 15, shall we? Jude chapter 15. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. First of all, 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, and we're going to start reading with verse 5, though we could start earlier, passage about wicked men and the latter times and perilous times, but starting in verse 5, now these fellows are, let's start with verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Not too bad of an introduction from Sunday school this morning, I suppose. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Now, ladies, don't get offended, okay? I know it says silly women there, but I haven't said anything yet, so don't be offended. Look in Jude, and we'll read verse 3. Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. It says there, who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be here this morning. Appreciate what we've had a chance to do the last few days. I'm glad that Brother Caribou was encouraged about the work up in St. Cloud. Also, Father, thank you for all you did last night down at the Basilica. We don't know all you did, frankly, but we're sure you did something. And we turn to you here this morning, pray that you might give us fair warning about some things, enlighten our eyes and open them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, these two passages, of course, are two of the great warning passages in the Bible. Both those passages warn of men, which is not unlike an awful lot of passages in the Bible. But beware of men, said Paul, right? It says, who hath bewitched you? Not what hath bewitched you, but who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. Fact is, sometimes Christians get a little preoccupied with what Satan's doing or what other spirits are doing or whatever. And the fact is that most times Satan is going to use the avenue of a man to deceive you and snare you. Hope you know that. I really do. Now, there's a ton of information in these two passages here, but there's something I wanted you to see happens in both passages, and that is the certain word. One word uses the word creep, and the other word is crept. In one case, Paul warns Timothy that there are men that that creep in and lead captive silly women. Jude says there are men crept in. I want to talk to you this morning about creepers. Now, I hope you know what creeping is. I hope you know what a creeper is. If you look out your bedroom window at 2 in the morning, and there's this guy out there in silhouette doing one of these things, that's creeping. And you know he's up to no good, right? If you get up to go to the bathroom at night, and before you walk into the bathroom, you see a shadow cross your living room, and that guy's doing the same thing, now you're a little more alarmed, right? Because this guy is in your house and he's up to no good. We had a dog some years back. His name was Itai. And he was a Rottweiler German Shepherd mix. And full grown, he weighed 130 pounds. He was a fun dog, but he was a pain with company because we'd have supper with somebody. And he would sit right at the table. He was tall enough and big enough. When he sat down on his haunches, his nose was absolutely level with the table. So he was an absolute pain to eat around. And so I'd always send him downstairs. Itai, go downstairs. And Itai would go downstairs with his tail between his legs, you know. And About 5 minutes later, though, and this is up, you know, our house was all white inside, white walls and everything. Up the stairs creeps this 130 pounds of bone and muscle, all black and tan, you know. And he's creeping upstairs, low on the floor, just quiet as he can be, you know. And we couldn't see him, of course, because he was black and the walls were white. But he came creeping up. Now, it's kind of hard for me to denounce Ittai. He just wanted table scraps. But there are some creeps around, and you got to watch out for those guys. Like I said, 2 Timothy says there are creeps that want to creep in and lead captive. He's in the house. He wants to lead captive, specifically silly women laden with sins. In Jude, he says there are men that have crept in unawares. So this morning, I want to talk to you about creepers. And it's a message of warning this morning. If you want a message of love, I'll preach on something else later, you know, in some other week or whatever. But this is a message of warning this morning. Not that there's anything specific that I'm shooting for here in this church, but it's the idea in general that you have to be aware. After all, he did creep in unawares. You have to be aware. Now, we've had a creeper or two, I suppose, that have crept into our church at one point or another through the past. We have learned that, generally speaking, a sharp two-edged sword takes care of creepers. And that's pretty much why we preach the way we do here. It's pretty much why we get as intrusive at times as we do. It kind of keeps the riffraff out, to be honest with you. Amen? Now, otherwise, I want you to know that you live in a day and age where creepers probably have unprecedented access to you and your family. I'm talking about through the internet and all the things that, you know, are involved in our modern technological society. But you all are aware, I know, of times in the past. It's hardly a month that's gone by that you don't hear of some major pastor somewhere or some minister in some church falling. It turns out this guy's a creep, right? So I know you're aware of that. I also know that you're aware that there are certain dangers on the internet. I don't know how many times I've read, and I'm not saying the internet is all bad. I'm not saying that weblogs are all bad, but I don't know how many blogs or forums I have read that somebody sent me a link to that's full of absolute nonsense. Right? I mean, folks, I tell you, the internet can be a fine thing, and I'm an email guy. I like to keep in touch with people via email. But I'll tell you this, you can't say that everything on the internet is bad, but you certainly can't say everything is good. I'll tell you something that I don't understand. I really have never understood the whole Facebook mentality. And I think a lot of times what Facebook does is it allows the most vulnerable people to be given access to by creepers, honestly, to be honest with you. I have never figured out how grown-ups, for instance, grown men and women with kids, families, jobs, responsibilities, have time to post some of the pictures they post on the internet, post some of the stuff they've written on the internet. I've read stuff, folks, that I would not want my closest friend to know that I had done, and I've seen it on weblogs and Facebook. I would advise if you have kids that have Facebook to watch them very carefully. I would advise if you are on Facebook to watch yourself very carefully. You know, there's a bunch of creeps that are 50-year-old males that pretend to be 13-year-old girls in order to have access to your daughters, sir, ma'am, just so you know. I'm warning you this morning about creeps. Now, I'll change venues just a little bit. I believe one of the most noble things you can do in this world is sit down and study the Bible. Amen? So I don't want you to think for a second that I'm against Bible studies. We have Bible studies here. We've had folks that led Bible studies in our church, you know, and among some of the girls, the teen class, they've led Bible studies amongst themselves. That's a noble thing. I do want you to know, though, that sometimes outside church Bible studies are often a very good growing ground for creepers. Did you know that? There are folks that I know that have gone to Bible studies that have that lead Bible studies, actually, that have nothing to grind but a doctrinal axe. All they want to do is get you to try to speak in tongues. all they want to do is say gossip. I know folks that have specific, an axe to grind personally against pastors at certain works and so on. And what they really want you for in their Bible study is to access you for a while to try to influence you away from the church you're going to or from doing right. Now, I'm not saying all Bible studies are wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that you have to watch out for creepers. We have, in this particular day, almost unprecedented amount of electronic media that you have access to. And I, you know, a couple of my own kids have downloaded a ton of sermon material on their iPods. That's all good and fine. But you know what? Somebody asked me the other day what I thought of Brother Hagee, John Hagee, little fat round guy on TV. He looks pretty impressive because he has these charts and it's all colorful and everything. It's okay, except for the fact that, did you know that in supporting Israel, that he does not believe in converting Israelites? Did you know that? John Hagee does not believe in converting Israelites. I'm saying that you have to watch out whose sermons you download, because just because everybody's preaching from the Bible doesn't mean they're right or that they're good. I used to love to listen to this black preacher. His name is T.D. Jakes. Anybody ever heard T.D. Jakes on the TV? Man, this guy can really preach when he gets going. Did you know that guy belongs to a branch of the Pentecostal church that does not believe that there's a Trinity? Did you know that? Now look, folks, you got to be careful about who you allow access into your inner sanctum, correct? Because there are creepers about. These men and women, for that matter, creep in and not just lead silly women captive, but they have crept in while you were unaware. One last thing I'll say, I guess, is that you always have creepers showing up at your door, JWs and Mormons. In fact, these folks this morning said, we thought that the folks that came around were all JWs and Mormons. I said, no, there's a few Baptists in there. Just a few. I'll tell you what, some of your old high school buddies are hanging around you, and they're creeping around talking to you because what they want to do is influence you back where you came from. You're in church doing right and have walked away from some of the things of this world. They want to influence you back. They are creepers. They are creeps. Thank you. You're welcome. All right. So let me talk to you for a while about creepers this morning. I'm going to go through these two passages, and I'm not going to be able to hit everything. There's way too much material, but I hope to hit a high point or two and be a help to you. And first of all, look in Jude 1, 3 and 4. First of all, it says there, it was needful for me in verse 3 to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? For there are certain men crept in unawares. So earnestly contend for the faith, for there are certain men crept in unawares, right? So first of all, I'll just tell you this morning, I'm going to start out with a solution to this whole mess. You know what the solution to the whole mess is? Earnestly contend for the faith. You need to understand you're in a fight. And it's a doctrinal fight. It's a spiritual fight. It's not just fighting devils and so on. It is sometimes coming face to face with men and women who are wrong about the Bible, and you need to have the answers for them. When a Jehovah's Witness shows up to your door, you need to have some verses on the blood and some verses on hell and some verses on the deity of Christ so you can earnestly contend for the faith. That's the solution, is you be ready to fight for the faith God delivered you. That's the solution. Now, I thought seriously about bringing a prop in this morning, but I decided against it. And the reason I say that is I don't know if you ever find a creeper creeping around in your living room and you think about it. I tell you what's really good for that. What's really good for that is that even if it's empty, a 12-gauge pump shotgun. Because if you go like that, I promise you the creeper's leaving. Right? So I almost brought a prop this morning and just decided some of you might leave. Maybe you were creepers. I'm not sure. So I just decided not to do that. But But I've learned that if you will preempt the creepers sometimes, it's best. When the Jehovah's Witness shows up on your door, and as he showed up to mine a few times, he says, you know, we're from the local Kingdom Hall down the road, and said, oh, you're a Jehovah's Witness. Well, you know what? I've already studied the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm sure that we cannot agree. After all, I believe and know that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, and when he died, he shed God's own blood on the cross, and if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to a burning hell. You know what? If you preempt them that way, the Jehovah's Witnesses are leaving. That's the same thing as racking a shotgun. Like that, I promise you. I preempt some folks another way as well. It helps keep the riffraff out. Folks come in sometimes and say, you know, what is the outstanding characteristic of your church? You know what I say? I say, at this church, the pastor believes every single word of the King James Bible. He believes that every single word of the King James Bible is perfect and inerrant. A lot of times, that's all it takes. That's all it takes sometimes. We had a couple of creepers around a few years back, say 20 years ago now. And they had been around for a few months. I learned that they did not believe in eternal security, even though they were fundamental Baptists. And so I went into about a four-week study on eternal security. They were gone within 2 months. Got it? So first of all, I just say the solution is to be armed. I would say the solution is for you to have the solution and have the answers and preempt the creeper. All right? Have a Bible. Know what's in the Bible, and know when somebody shows up on your door creeping around looking to make a victim of you. Secondly, I'd like to show you something else. Now, we're talking about the term creeper. And when I say creeper, that word creep kind of carries certain connotations with it, does it not? Kind of carries the connotation of sneaky, surreptitious, secretive, and so on. I know that some years back when I was still home, way back now, I guess, when I was still home, my dad was a farmer, and there for a while, the Mormon ladies were coming around trying to have a Bible study with my mom, and they would come about 10 in the morning when my dad was gone in the field and mom was home alone. See, they creep into houses and lead silly women captive, laden with sins. All right? I'll tell you what else you have to watch out for with Mormons. You say, well, I believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You know what they will say? They will say they believe that too. They don't mean what you mean, but they will say that they believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I talked to a monotheist last night at the Basilica. I think he was an Islamist in disguise, but he said, well, I believe in the Son of Mary. I said, yeah, well, I do too, but do you believe he was the Son of God? Well, he couldn't go there, you know. But the point is, folks, if you preempt the Mormons and the JWs on some of their ammunition, you would do good. Like I said, you need to know that a guy is 50 years old, being a predator, pretending to be a 13-year-old girl on the Internet, is not going to be doing good. What's he doing? He's sneaking around. He has an ulterior motive, does he not? Do you know what that motive is? I'm not going to lay it out for you, but I do know what that motive is. I've found that many times Calvinists are not upfront about what they believe. They are secretive. They try to hide things behind certain language and so on. I want to talk to you about subterfuge and ulterior motives. See, when somebody's creeping around, you know they are up to no good. When you see the silhouette cross the window in your living room and the guy's going, you know he's up to no good, right? Kids, that's why your parents do not like you sneaking around. They do not like to find you with stuff hidden between your mattresses because you're being surreptitious. And when you're surreptitious, they know that you have an ulterior motive. You understand? When you sneak around, when you look like a sneak, you probably are one, right? Somebody with an ulterior motive is up to no good. Sometimes those motives have to do with perverted and wicked designs, as I've mentioned. Sometimes those motives have to do with money. I'll give you an instance. A couple of years ago, a guy calls me and he said, I'd like to have a meeting with you. next week, and he set a date. He said, if you could just meet with me next week sometime, I really have something I really, really, really need to talk to you about. I've never met this guy in my life. So we set a time and a date, and I came up here at the appointed hour. A little while, a guy walks in the back door, or the front door back there, and this guy is drunk as a skunk. I mean, he could hardly walk a straight line. That guy had taken the time to set up a meeting with me the week before so he could ride the bus up here and get off the bus blind drunk to ask me for money. He was being surreptitious. He had an ulterior motive, right? You would have never thought this guy was anything but a well-educated, you know, guy just looking for answers. I thought I was going to have a Bible study. It was just a drunk looking for money. An ulterior motive. Ulterior motive. Sometimes those motives are ambition. There are many motives, but let me show you a couple real quick if you'll just turn with me. Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, go down to verse 30. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Sometimes all somebody wants is a following. Somebody just wants to take you and have you fall so you will fall with them. Look in Ephesians 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. Now again, this is a message of warning this morning, not of or for anyone here in particular, just in general. We live in perilous times, do we not? If you live in perilous times and there is peril about, what is that peril? Part of that peril is creepers. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll find it here in just a second. Ephesians chapter 4 and go down to verse 14. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now folks, there are a lot of folks out there with a Bible in their hand, and they have ulterior motives. They only want to have you fall. That's what they want. The devil wants nothing more than to get you off track. You understand that, right? I do not know. I mentioned blogs and forums a little while ago on the internet. I do not know how many blogs and forums I have read where somebody absolutely hates Bible believers. They absolutely hate Bible-believing doctrine. They absolutely hate the Bible. And in the name of the Bible, they go about tearing everything down. Okay, that is somebody with an ulterior motive. Do you understand? I mentioned Bible studies earlier. Again, there are a lot of Bible study leaders, folks, that have nothing more than a pet peeve about some doctrine. They want to draw you in to try to convince you to speak in tongues or to do some such thing like that. There are some folks that have a doctrinal axe to grind. I know a lady who started going to a certain Bible study. She told me about it. She said, she went in there. It turns out that the group was a bunch of hyper-dispensationalists. And there was another lady in that Bible study she knew. And the lady came to her, and she knew that she had come to this church for years and years and years. And she said, you have been taught the Bible wrong for all these years. Where you really need to come learn the Bible is here in this Bible study. And you know what? I know for a fact that lady used to come to this church as well. And what she has is an axe to grind about, frankly, me and the leadership of this church. And so what she's out to do is destroy somebody and have her fall so she'll come to her Bible study. Okay? Now, a lot of stuff like that goes on, folks. And again, I mentioned, some of your Christian friends and family do not like what you are. They do not like your standards. They do not like that you perhaps put them under conviction with some of the things you do. How could you go out on the street and yell at people at the Basilica? I mean, that's disgraceful for a Christian to do, they think. And so, tell you what they are out to do with all the talk. They are out to get you out of this church somewhere where you will be much less usable to the Lord, but much more satisfying to them personally. That's an ulterior motive. Now look in Jude 4. Let's go back to Jude. We'll go to 2 Timothy here in a little bit as well. But in Jude 4, I want to show you the next thing. I've talked about the solution, the subterfuge, and the ulterior motives. Let me show you next, Jude, and go down to verse 4. It says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Unawares. Now, I don't know how many husbands and or wives I've talked to in the last 20 years, and the husband just one day up and left, or the wife just one day up and left, or to pastors who one day the church just split. They weren't expecting it. Or somebody left in church and they just were not expecting it. Or the church went off into heresy, apostasy. They just did not expect it. You know what they said? They said they got blindsided. They said, "We never saw it coming." I don't know how many ladies I've talked to. They never saw it coming that their husband was leaving. Well, I just want to say that you were unaware. And in this passage it said, certain men have crept in unaware. Now, folks, I got news for you doctrinally. You're supposed to know when they creep in. You're supposed to be aware. There is a vigil involved with this. You understand? I'm not trying to inspire paranoia. I don't think we're being besieged by Jesuits or anything like that. I'm not trying to inspire ultra-criticism or ultra-skepticism. But the Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. It says, try the spirits. Right? And so I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be on vigil enough to question any man, any woman, any time about whether what they believe and have said is what the Bible says. Right? Look in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Very quick. Isaiah 8:20. "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Nobody's asking you to become ultra critical of anyone. We're just asking you to read your Bible, and if what somebody says does not line up with what your Bible says, guess who's wrong? They are wrong. Be vigilant. Right? Be aware. Don't say, "Oh man, I got blindsided. I just never knew I was joining a cult, but I guess I did, you know. I just one day woke up and wound up a Mormon unawares." You were unaware. You weren't vigilant, right? Look down in Jude 4 again, and in Jude 4 it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." Now, I'm going to need to explain a couple of things in there. First of all, it uses the word ordained, does it not? Now, folks, I have a verse in Matthew from the Lord's mouth that says that it must be that offenses come, but woe be to the man by whom the offense cometh, right? What that means is that God prophesied and predicted there would be offenses that came down through the ages to the church, and there would be things that happened. What you need to make sure of is that you're not the guy by whom they come, right? Couldn't be simpler. Now, to use the word there, ordained, that the Lord ordained it. And to some Calvinist souls, what that means is that God said that this particular guy was, before the foundation of the world, set to bring offense into the church. He ordained it that way. That is not the way it works, folks. Did you know that I can find you ordainments in the Bible? Did you know that every Christian that's ever been born again is ordained to walk in good works? Guess what? I know a bunch of Christians that are not walking right. You know what that means? That means that ordainment is not a fatally Calvinistic thing. Because God ordains something does not necessarily mean it happens. Now, the best way to explain this is to say that it was set before the foundation of the world that there would be offenses that come and that there would be men that brought apostasy and heresy into the church. But no single man was destined to be that man. You make sure you're not that guy. Now, the reason I went through all that was to show you in verse 4 that there's another word that's used there. And I've talked about the vigil. I want to talk to you for a minute about the condemnation, because it says in verse 4, they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. God ordained that there would be certain heresies brought into the church. He did not ordain that Joe Blow would be the guy that did it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, folks, what it does say there is that the guys that do that are condemned. Now, condemned in the Bible does not always mean going to hell. There's other forms of condemnation. But these guys are condemned. It says in verse 4, they were before of old ordained to this condemnation, right? They are what? They are ungodly men. Now, we are told today, judge not, lest you be judged, right? In fact, talked to a guy yesterday. In fact, it was the monotheist. I said, you know, we were out there. Of course, everybody was drunk around us and all the rock and roll going. And I said, so do you think these folks are born again? He thought they were Christians. I said, do you think these folks are born again? He said, oh, I would never judge another man's salvation. Now, I'll tell you this right now. You can judge. You can judge. Look in Philippians chapter 1 real quick. I don't say you hold the gavel. I'm not saying you get to hold a brick bat and throw it at anyone. But you do get to judge some things. For instance, look in Philippians 1. Everybody knows the verse, judge not lest you be judged. They do not follow through with the rest of the passage, do they? Philippians chapter 1, and go down to verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. See, there are some guys that I have to judge are not saved, so that I am compelled to take the gospel to them, right? Why would a missionary not judge a certain people lost if he was going to go and try to win them to Christ, correct? Look in Luke chapter 12 real quick. Let me show you something from the mouth of the Lord. Luke chapter 12, and go all the way down to verse 57, where it says, this is from the Lord, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Now, it said back in Jude that these guys were condemned. How does that read? It says, they were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Now, folks, you know that lady that tried to influence that other lady out of our church into basically a cultish-type Bible study? You know what she was? She was ungodly. She said, you have been taught the Bible wrong your entire life. It's not true. Somebody that tries to influence someone to take them down, you know what that is? That is ungodly. That is a judgment. That is a certain condemnation, by the way. But it is ungodly. It is not wrong to call somebody ungodly that is ungodly. It's not wrong. In fact, it's right. Correct? Do you think the Pope is godly? I don't. I believe the Pope has led millions and millions of people wrong through the years. He is ungodly. He is a minister of Satan. He is a deceiver. He is ungodly. That is a condemnation. But I just want you to see that there are things that you have to judge. You have to judge these men crept in unawares and say, look, they are ungodly. I have to get away from them. They need to get out, right? Look in Jude 4 again. I want to show you something else. Jude 4. And notice down towards the end of the verse, let's start over again. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. There's a transformation in there somewhere. That's what this point is, the transformation. It says there that they turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, there's more of this going around than folks even realize. Do you know what lasciviousness is? Lasciviousness is moral looseness. It is an indulgence of the flesh, an overindulgence of the flesh. It is wantonness, right? Now, let me tell you something about creepers, okay? Most creepers are not out to influence you to higher moral and spiritual standards. Guy walks up to your kid and says, "Hey kid, take this here and load it down into your iPod. It's the old-fashioned gospel hour." There's plenty more where that's coming from, you know. In other words, folks, you don't have to sneak around. Kids don't sneak around to listen to old-time gospel hour music. Kids don't sneak around to listen to classical music, right? Guy says, "Hey girl, come over here. Go put on this blouse instead of the one you got on. It'll raise your neckline. It'll come all the way up to here." Creepers are not out to raise your standards. You understand? A creeper is always out to lower your standards. Correct? It says there in that Bible that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, let's understand grace for just a second. God has grace with thieves. Anybody ever here ever steal anything before you got saved? Besides time. Okay? If you're saved, God has grace with thieves, right? I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but some of you can say amen. God has grace with adulterers, does He not? God has grace with dopeheads, doesn't He? Now, that does not mean that God promotes lying and stealing. It does not mean that He promotes adultery, correct? It does not mean that He promotes dope. But what has happened, folks, is that there are creeps around that have crept in, that have begun to teach that God basically approves of certain brands of adultery. God made marijuana, so why can't we smoke it, man? Right? I mean, God made it. It's natural and all that kind of stuff, right? I'll give you an example. We just heard this week, I'm sure you guys heard, the Presbyterian Church, how many of you know where I'm going? Presbyterian Church has now adopted the pro-gay agenda. And so now anybody in the that can be openly gay in the Presbyterian Church. Okay? Let me tell you what happened. Somewhere along the way, there were men ordained of old to this condemnation that crept in and started working on that denomination from inside. Right? What a bunch of creeps. Now again, those creeps did not raise the moral and spiritual standards of the Presbyterians. They lowered them. They lowered them down into the sewer is what they did. There are folks now that promote openly rock and roll and the absence of doctrine. In fact, we are told that that is the way to build a church these days. You tear down all the walls, you bring in the rock and roll band, and you quit teaching that old Bible and all those sort of things. It's a new way to worship. Anytime somebody says that, I know automatically three things. I know they're going to lower standards in music. I know they're going to lower standards in morals. And I know they're not going to teach any Bible. That's the way it goes. Now, folks, there's a transformation that's occurred. That transformation is they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They do so often with the word liberty always being propounded. Liberty and grace. We're to have liberty with folks. And so we have great liberty and we can do anything that we want to. That is not true. That is not true. Your salvation does not depend on works, but you need to live right after you're saved. And God does not approve of having His grace turned into a license for folks to live any way they want to. That is a transformation. Many creepers about. So they now tell us that's the way to build a church. That is not the way to build God's church. All right, look in Jude 4 again. I got a couple other things to show you. Well, I won't lie to you. It's more than two. But I'll go quickly. Verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is denial number one. There are two denials. This is denial number one. Denial number one is denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They serve another God. You see, if they teach that the grace of God, if they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, then the God they are worshiping is a lascivious God. My God is not lascivious. My God is not loose. My God is not wanton. My God does not approve of lying. My God does not approve of surreptitious dealings. Correct? You understand? Folks, I've said for years that one of the great tragedies in the church, in Christianity, is that folks have begun to take Jesus Christ, have begun to take God, and hang on Him whatever attributes and ornamentation they like. They like that God is love. So they let that ornament hang. But they do not like that our God is a consuming fire. So that leaves our theology. They like a God that's tolerant. Nowadays, they like a God that's socially active. I just want you to know, that is not the God of the Bible. That is an idol. When you start taking attributes and placing them upon God that do not check with what the Bible says, you are building your own idol. And I want you to know that by the time it's all wrapped up and said and done, some of this stuff with the purpose-driven movement and the promise keepers and the emerging church type stuff, but what they're going to learn is that in the end, they have been worshiping an entirely other God. They might as well be worshiping Allah, because He's an entirely other God than the God of the Bible. Denial number one. They deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, one of the things that I wanted to say here is that, you know, my Christianity personally and our ministry here in general for all of us is not built around putting on a ghillie suit. You know what a ghillie suit is, guys? That's where you put on, it's a sniper suit. And a guy that's in a ghillie suit looks like a Sasquatch because he has all this stuff hanging off of him. So if he goes and lies down in the pasture, he just looks like a mound of grass. And the idea is you get to sneak up on somebody, you just look like a mound of grass, then you get to kill them. All right? I want you to know that my Christianity is not built on that surreptitious nonsense. I do not put on a ghillie suit. I do not need gloves and a Nomex hood to sneak around in the night to go about the business of the Lord. And I want you to know and understand, folks, that you're not supposed to be that way either. There are people that operate that way. They always have ulterior motives. They're always going for the jugular, you know, but under cover of something else. They deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see something else. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go back to our second text here. And I'll be quick here. There's a lot that I'm leaving behind, but that was to be expected, I guess. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's start with the verse 4. No, yes, verse 4 real quick. Just something quickly in passing. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That says a lot, right? And then it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denial number two, denying the power thereof. I told you a minute ago about the ministry. I'll tell you what we've tried to build the ministry on. You can tell me whether we've succeeded. We have tried to build the ministry on the power of God. Christ said, all power is given me in heaven and earth, right? When you got saved, you were delivered from the power of darkness, from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He'll come on you with power, correct? The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It says that my speech and my preaching was in demonstration of the power of the Spirit, that your faith should not rest in what? Okay, look in second. You're not catching on. So let's go in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quick. I don't want you to think I'm just shooting off the hip here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go all the way back to verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now notice it was the speech and preaching, right? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Bible says that the preaching of the Bible is power, right? We have done all that we can to build the ministry, the church, on powerful things. A relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Being converted, genuinely converted. The Word of God, the preaching of the Bible, right? And yet the Bible says there will be those that deny the power of godliness. Now, my Bible is the King James Bible. There are folks that spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, tearing down the King James Bible. Okay? They're trying to tear down the power. They don't think that Bible preaching is sufficient. You can't build a church that way anymore. Years ago, we had some folks who left our church disenchanted. And when they left, this was 23 years ago, they said, that church will never make it. You guys will never grow. And, well, I guess we did. A little bit. And their church, however, is very, very small. Why? Apparently, they did not build on the power. We have tried to build on the power. We have tried to keep from denying anything in the Bible. We have tried to keep preaching up front. They tell us we can't build a church any longer on preaching that old Bible and ramming it down people's throats. Well, folks, that is the power of God. I have nothing else to say. I don't know what else to say. We've tried to build on the power, but there are folks that deny the power of godliness. You have to have a rock band. You have to do it this way. You got to have bingo on Friday nights, and then your church can grow. You have to have a carnival out in the parking lot. Then your church can grow. You got to have a bus ministry. Then your church can grow. But you won't do it with just preaching the Bible. If I can't do it in power, I guess I'm really not interested in doing it, to be perfectly honest with you. I want you to see in 2 Timothy 3:5 as well, where it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I wanted you to see there that form of godliness. We've come to a day where folks are almost completely, preoccupied with form. A lot of folks voted for our present president because they were preoccupied with form and not substance. There are those, it seems, that are only preoccupied with a form of godliness. They know how to put the sheep on, the sheep's wool on. They can put the sheep on if they want. They put the sheep's wool on even though they're still a wolf, right? And I want you to understand there's a lot of folks around like that, okay? There are many, many heretics that are TV evangelists. There are many, many apostates that have syndicated national radio shows on a religious basis. You understand? The only way you can tell the difference, folks, is by opening your Bible and checking them out. They have a form of godliness. They are not what they pretend to be. Everybody is always shocked when some great religious leader, some pastor of some growingest church in the corner of somewhere winds up in pornography or whatever. I just want you to know, folks, there is always a form of godliness. And you do not want to get mixed up with somebody that denies the power of genuine godliness and just deals in the form. One last thing I'll be done, although it's not really the end of it. Notice about these fellows down in verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep. There's the creeper. They're creepy. They creep. They're creepers. They tool around on their bellies and sneak around trying to get in. They creep into houses. See, they're in the house. They are inside because folks are unaware. And they lead captive silly women laden with sins. Now, there's a couple things about that, ladies. Sometimes, ladies, I'll tell you, I think that there are some men that are silly women too. Just so you know. Because I know many men that have been led captive. But a couple things about that in verse 6. Lead captive silly women laden with sins. these women's problem, they not only were silly, but they were laden with sins. They had been spending all day in front of the boob tube watching soap operas. They are laden in sin. All they can think of is how to get the wrinkles off their eyes. You know, that's all they can think of all day long. How are they going to get their rear end in proper shape to be attractive to men? They are laden with sins. You understand? Now, I know a bunch of men are laden with sins too. That's why I say sometimes silly women aren't necessarily gender-driven. Sometimes silly women, I am convinced, are men. Tell that to the next apostate guy you know. Hey, you're a silly woman. That'll go real well. Get a black eye, probably. Verse 6. Silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Led away. Like a bull with a ring through its nose, being led away with diverse lusts. I want to be thin. I want to be beautiful. Right? I want a jet ski and a four-wheeler. I want a Mercedes. Led away of diverse lusts. I've never understood bald guys that freaked out because they were losing their hair. I just don't understand. I'm a bald guy. There are other bald guys in here. Really, guys, does it bother you that your hair fell out, really? I mean, it makes for cheap barber bills, I'm telling you right now. But I know guys that are just freaked out because they have a receding hairline. I say, man, come on, guy, don't worry about it. You know, it's going to fall out. You know, don't worry about it. But they're completely freaked out about the thing, folks. If you got hair, I'm glad you do. Enjoy it while you got it, whatever. But I don't understand folks freaking out. You know what? They're led away of diverse lusts, right? They think, what do they think? They think they're more attractive to women with hair. I know what they think. When you're fat and you want to be thin, you think you'll be more attractive to the opposite sex thin. That's what you think. You're led away of diverse lusts. Got to be careful with that. Amen? Fine, go lose weight. Help yourself. Have a comb over. I don't care. Just don't be led by diverse lusts, right? I'm not to the last point yet. Give me a second. Look in verse 7. One of the attributes of these guys is they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's one of the scarier verses in the Bible. You know that? They learn and they learn and they learn and they learn and they study and they learn, but they never come to a knowledge of the truth. I want you to see, last of all, with regard to these guys, they are creepers and they are often learned. Because somebody is learned doesn't mean they know anything. I'm very serious. Stick with your Bible. You will get more genuine knowledge, wisdom, and truth from your Bible than you get from some guy who says he knows things. I had a guy yesterday at the... We were walking away from the Basilica, and he was trying to pawn tickets, I guess. And so he stopped us and wanted a track. I think he was going to try to sell us tickets or whatever. So I asked him if he was saved. He said, oh! He said, I've studied the Bible for years. I probably know the Bible better than you do. So we had this running thing going, you know, all the way down the sidewalk, you know, where he kept coming back for more. And then when I started to say something, I don't want to hear it. You're just angry and upset and all this kind of stuff. And so it just got kind of ugly. But he professed to be learned. He professed to have studied the New Testament his whole life. He didn't even know about the new birth, folks. Now look, all I'm saying is there are folks creeping around, and they usually have certain attributes. I've given you these attributes, right? Don't be a creeper, and don't let a creeper get in unawares. You don't have to be mean and cold and negative and skeptical in order to keep the creepers out. You just have to stay in the book, folks. You really do. Let's stand. Turn to number 334 this morning. Now, if anything, what I would hope to inspire here, and it's been a constant desire of our ministry, is to inspire you to read and study your Bible and earnestly contend for the faith. It's not just about protection. It's about honoring Jesus Christ. 334. Lord dealt with you about something this morning. You're welcome to come forward. If anybody is here and never trusted Christ, we hope you'll see that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're welcome to come as well. We would love to take you aside, show you privately how to know you can go to heaven. That's true. Otherwise, this morning it's more or less an informative message, a message of warning. If you've been unaware and lacked vigilance, maybe you need to come apologize to the Lord. If you do, you feel free to come. 334. Solves a lot of problems. You know that? Keep Jesus Christ in His Word first. Solves an awful lot of problems all by itself. On the last. A word of prayer before we go. Now, Father, you gave us fair warning about men creeping in, about wolves, about serpents. And we hope that you will help us to be truly vigilant in these things. Really, the answer is in the Word of God, and we pray that you just help us to be the people of the book that we profess to be. We hope this has been a blessing to everybody that's heard. Pray that you might raise everyone's awareness, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good afternoon, folks. See you tonight.